On the show today, we have Oculus's very own Carolyn Burton talking about online lending fraud trends for 2020 and the cool tools that are out there to help combat this nefarious activity. So check it out. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Carolyn Burton from the cool company called Oculus. Carolyn, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for asking. Hey, we're talking about online lending fraud trends for 2020. Can't believe we're already in February. So this kind of deals with the rise in account takeover fraud and the tools that are available to combat this nefarious activity. So before we get into that stuff, so what are some of the online lending fraud trends that financial institutions need to be aware of these days?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things, you know, that are going on. There's editing of PDF bank statements or any kind of document that's being submitted as supporting details for loans. And then, you know, you can even see with like two-factor authentication, right? Just like guarding all of your accounts to make sure people aren't kind of taking over and using them. There's synthetic fraud. So we've partnered with a company named CentiLink that just focuses on, you know, people who don't exist, right? They're using identifiable information, but a combination of it where there's no one individual you can tie that information back to, right? So there's kind of different levels of how people are manipulating, you know, the data that's out there or the data that they provide in order to show themselves in a light that's just untrue.
Indeed. So let's focus on the rise in account takeover fraud. So what's going on here? How exactly does this work with the account takeover fraud?
Yeah, so where I see it most is the tampering of a PDF statement on a bank statement. So someone will just go in and, you know, they're really good at it. You can't tell by the human eye. And they're changing out an account number and the identifiable information. So your name and your address, and representing their either company or personal health with someone else's true statement, right? So if you look through, it's gonna add up. All the like math works, all the transactions are real,
right?
But it just doesn't belong to that person at all.
Wow. So how does this happen though? I mean, I'm like, well, how does this person get a hold of this information? How do they get a hold of the PDF and make all these switches and stuff like that? How does that start? I mean, this is just kind of baffling to me.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you from looking at samples that people spend a lot of time doing this.
Okay.
I mean, it's definitely an art, and I feel like once they, you know, their job is to be a fraudster, and so they practice it. We have a solution called file tampering detection, and so we're able to look at the metadata on a PDF file and then tell you if it's been tampered. So I see a lot of these come through, especially examples I'm giving to clients. And, you know, they go through and they edit all kinds of things. So, you know, first you can start off by just taking someone's account and, you know, kind of rolling through and it's all going to add up and you don't have to worry about as much math. Some people edit, you know, the number of pages that are in that statement. So who knows what they're hiding on page 5, but it no longer exists. Loan stacking. So they'll go in and they'll edit the descriptions on all of them so that you can't tell where this money's coming from. And so a lot of that is, right, if they've taken in funds from other, you know, either alternative lenders or cash advance situations, they're just hiding that. They don't want you to know. They want that to look like it's revenue and that it's a healthy situation. And then balance padding. So I've seen anywhere from, you know, tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of dollars in a summary section of a bank statement. And you go through and the entire statement lights up on our tool and they have meticulously made sure that the math on the 100 or so transactions equals.
Good grief. Wow. Well, that's a lot of work, it sounds like. But if it works, it's probably well worth it to them. So who's at most risk here? Is it just the general consumer member or what? Who's at risk here with this type of fraud?
Yeah, I mean, I think that lenders especially, you know, are the ones that kind of carry the risk. If they don't know the document's been edited, then they think that this, you know, either business or this consumer is in a good credit standing and, you know, can pass through all their models and, you know, on paper, look great, mm-hmm. but in actuality, they're gonna, the people are just hoping they can walk away with, you know, a big chunk of change gotcha. And hope they don't get caught.
Right, right.
And there's multitude of ways to kind of put in checks and balances, right? So data aggregators have become, you know, key in the sense that Plaid, who we've partnered with, if you at the time of funding connecting, if you require, you know, whoever's trying to borrow the money to connect a bank account, you instantly are verifying that what they've provided up front in the underwriting process is corroborated.
Gotcha.
Right? If yeah. you're getting the data feed straight from a bank, I don't understand how you could get in there and mess with the data, right? So it's a true source of reality, right? Like you have a guaranteed look of how that company or that person's doing. Mm-hmm.
Can you give me the scenario? What's the scenario? So the fraudster creates this fraudulent PDF based on somebody else's account, and then they send it into a lender hoping to get a loan or something like this. So is that how it works? And then if all goes well for the fraudster, they get this big check, and then they're off to the races, and then see you later, never see them again. But if all these cool tools that you guys have come up with or working with other partners and stuff, they get caught, then that's it for them. Is that kind of that's how the whole thing works?
Exactly. Okay. And it's not, you know, more prevalent in like small business lending than it would be consumer, right? It's kind of like the fraudsters are looking for the weakest link.
Sure.
So, you know, as we've developed tools, like I said, the file tampering, it's been interesting because, you know, we have the history to kind of take a look back and say, like, it seems that, you know, y'all are getting hit pretty hard for this one specific type of editing of the bank statement.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can only guess, but I assume that if you're a fraudster and you've gone in and you've edited this statement and you were successful, mm-hmm. you probably are going to try it again.
Of course. Like,
if you got a big payday because you spent 7 hours in an editing tool, I feel like we can already, you know, check the box that your morals are thrown out the window on. And so you're probably going to try it again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what we're hoping to kind of help catch. And people catch it at different phases of the underwriting process. Mm-hmm. So sometimes what I'll see has changed is just the address on a bank statement. And I always tell, you know, our clients, we're not telling you what funding decision to make. We're just trying to give you all the information so that you can make that decision mm-hmm. to your best ability.
Right.
You want to know exactly what credit risk you're taking on. Mm-hmm. And so if they've just changed the address, I always tell them, like, maybe this person moved and didn't tell the bank. But you can ask diligence questions and sure. get to the bottom of that real quick.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So tell me about these tools that that find these changes in a PDF. Because that's, I mean, this is fascinating into itself. So how do they work?
Yeah, so our machine learning team in-house built it, and it looks at, you know, parsable bank statements, and it's going in and looking at the metadata. So it can tell variance in when the text was written. So you can, you know, as a bank writing a bank statement, they're not going to have some of the transaction information put down, and then they go down and they put in like a header, and then they come back and write the transaction, right? It's all done pretty logically and sequentially.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that we pick up on, like, okay. Hey, this was written out of order at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
We pick up on that variance of font. So even if, say, the proprietary font of the bank is Times New Roman,
mm-hmm.
it is very specifically marked that is, you know, bank Times New Roman, right? Like, it digitally says it belongs to the bank. And so even though the human eye can't decipher for when I use Microsoft Word's Times New Roman for the banks,
right.
digitally we can tell that stamp's not there.
Wow.
And one thing, like, I didn't even realize before kind of getting knee deep into all of this was spaces have fonts.
Mm-hmm.
So even when people are messing with the alignment so that it looks like the bank statement that they would have downloaded, sometimes what we bring up is that they've edited it so much that the whole document has kind of lit up the way.
Oh, really?
We can tell changes because okay. it changes colors for us.
Wow.
And so the whole document will essentially be one color. because they've edited everything on there. And then we're finding spaces that are getting highlighted because it's showing the variance between the bank spaces and theirs.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Oh my gosh. So how prevalent is this? I mean, I don't want to say, is it popular, but how prevalent is this type of fraud today?
Yeah. So I ran a sample for one client in, you know, SMB lending the other day, and it was about 1% of all the documents that we see come through. Depending on kind of what their approach is before funding, or if they use a data aggregator up front, you know, we might only be seeing a portion of what their volume is.
True.
But, you know, like I said, we do see with certain clients that if we did a look back and pulled some of these, you know, file tampering samples for them, that it's similar document manipulation, right? Like, it really just kind of feels like someone was like, we realized we could get through, so we're going to try it again.
Oh, of course. Going back to the scene of the crime, for sure.
Exactly.
So where can we find these tools? Obviously, your company makes them. Other folks out there make them. So, and thank you, by the way, and all the other companies out there that are doing this type of stuff. Wow, because I had no idea this type of stuff existed, that you could tell from a PDF document digitally that somebody had messed with it. Because when you can't decipher it from the human eye, you know, that's a huge thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild what data is there digitally that just we never see, right? And you know, my background is not engineering, and so to be honest, without my great team here, I wouldn't have known. Like, I didn't know that you could look at the metadata and figure it out. But yeah, no, it's something we know is really important to our clients. And so we're, you know, kind of fraud is top of mind, whether it's partnerships. So like I mentioned, aggregators like Plaid are great for time of funding, connect your bank account. And if you, you know, have that connection through Ocrolus and you already submit PDFs to us, we can actually kind of corroborate instantly and say, yeah, that's going to be a check. What they sent you, you know, PDF hard copy does in fact check out with the digital data source from your bank. And then CintiLink, they focus on synthetic fraud, which, you know, is a newer type of fraud in the sense that they take a name, an address, a social security number, but those three things don't belong to one individual. So what they figured out is that if I use my name and my address and your social security number, it'll create a new profile with the credit bureaus, and then all of a sudden you can build up credit. Right? Oh. So they're really focused on don't give loans to people who aren't real.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
And so they're able to, you know, give you back a score of what is the probability that this person is synthetic, that it does not actually belong to a human. And then, of course, internally, you know, we've built this PDF tool, right? What we focus on the most is hard copies of documents. There's still a lot of people out there who do not want to connect their bank account, especially when you're shopping, right? If, with all the lenders online and all the options you have to get funding these days, connecting your bank account across, you know, 10 different ones might not be what you're comfortable with, step one. When they say, like, of course, you know, we're ready to fund, here's, you know, the interest it's gonna, like, we're gonna charge all this stuff, sure. Then you might feel more comfortable and you're like, I'll connect it, you can give me the funds. And so that's why we, you know, are focused on the document side tampering in-house. And like I said, so our machine learning team built it. It runs over these parsable PDFs and it returns back an alert to our clients. It says file tampering has been detected, and it tells them what pages it's on, and provides back kind of a color-coded image that'll show you the colors based on, you know, when it was written. So you can expect that, you know, headers would all be in the same color, summary information would be in the same color. And so it visually lights up like a Christmas tree when someone's gone in there.
Goodness.
Tinkered with the numbers.
Yeah, I think that's just amazing. Gosh, that's just amazing. So are all, and I hate to get too deep in the weeds here, but are all, which is the PDFs with what you guys do, are if, you know, say ABC Bank or ABC Credit Union comes to you guys and, hey, can we test out your software, your solution here. So does every application go through this process, or is it just kind of ones that draw a red flag or something like that? How does, do they each one goes through, or to see if it's been tampered with, or?
It's on an account basis.
Okay.
Right. So if it's something that the client is interested in, and, you know, the account management team here is focused on, you know, all of our existing clients understanding the new product offering and what it does. Mm-hmm. It, to be quite honest, it makes a whole lot of sense for a lot of people, right? If you're like, hi, so I ran some samples of old bank statements that you'd given us, so it's not your live volume, and here are 10 samples. Do you mind just going back and checking to see the performance on these? Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, a lot of times they do have other checks in their underwriting process that would have caught a few, but what we found is that a few usually get through, mm-hmm. and, you know, a couple early defaults of some big number loans, and, you know, the sell becomes a whole lot easier. It's just something that is valuable.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. So Carolyn, where can we find more information on these tools? Obviously your website, Aucrelis, is it Aucrelis?
Aucrelis.com.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's also learn@aucrelis.com.
Okay.
So email address if anyone, you know, wants more information, happy to chat with anyone.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff. All right, Carolyn, anything else to wrap up here? Any final words of wisdom on this front?
No. I mean, I think that we try to catch them and they're probably going to get savvier. So it's just the game.
It's just staying. It's like this race. It's just staying one step ahead, man.
Exactly.
But thank you to you guys and your partners out there for doing some great work out there. Just, again, keeping a step ahead of these folks out there. So good stuff. Good stuff indeed. All right, Carolyn. Well, thank you again. Appreciate the time, and I'll let you get back to work, okay?
Awesome. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.